Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Steve Penny. He is the publisher of the Silver Chartist Report, becoming one of my favorite reports when it comes to precious metals, and especially, well, how Steve looks at the markets, both on a mostly on a technical basis too. And that's where I want to start here, Steve, is technical aspect for gold and silver. Starting with gold, it's off to a good start this week and ran right up to about that 1800 level and then turned around. It hasn't dropped a whole lot. We're still trading right around this 1792 or 1793 level, but just interesting to see gold turn around just a couple dollars short of that $1800 level on the spot market. Steve, what are you watching here? Obviously, 1800 is resistance. Where else should investors be watching this gold price?
Yeah, absolutely. So I like to go big to small. So I've got my screen pulled up here, and I'm looking at a longer-term chart of gold. And what we're seeing is like a textbook cup and handle pattern. Typically, on a cup and handle pattern, that handle will pull back, you know, roughly a third of the previous move, and that's precisely what we've gotten here. So what I'm looking for is some basing action here, which we've seen over the last month or two, and then really to signal a resumption of the strong uptrend, what I'm looking for is a close above the 200-day moving average and above the upper rail of that eight-month downtrend channel going back to last August. And what's interesting here is the upper rail of that channel and the 200-day moving average are nearly coincident, like they're almost at the same level. So that's a confluence of resistance. I think that's going to be the big battle. And currently that's up around $1,850, $1,857 to be specific. But before we get there, of course, we got to get through 1,800. It's no coincidence this morning on this nice rally, we went up to $1,799 and failed right at $1,800. I'm not saying I don't think we'll get through that. I think there's a decent chance we get through that resistance maybe this week. And then the next level to watch would be that 1850 area.
It really is just this process, isn't it? To bring in new investors or in money that's in these other sectors, that gold needs to put in some sustainable uptrend here, past some of these resistance levels, turn them into support, and quite frankly, get an uptrend. That can be the most powerful thing or powerful way to get money into the market. Steve, how do you view this whole trend, or how important it is to actually take out these levels before we see more money come in?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think of it like a stair-step approach. So the next resistance is 1800. So if we get through there, might get a little bit of a follow-through, and then it's typical to come back and back-test what was previous resistance is now support. And then you just kind of climb that ladder. Like I said, the big resistance will be to get above that 200-day. And I think that's when we can see some really nice moves. I mean, the kind of moves that a lot of gold bugs and silver investors are looking for, where it's, you know, it's a little bit more exciting. The excitement comes when we get back above that 200-day moving average.
Anything that you're seeing in the underlying gold stocks that is either giving you encouragement or giving you a word of caution? What are you seeing in the stocks?
No, quite the opposite. It's pretty optimistic. We're seeing GDX as the first to break out from that eight-month downtrend channel. We staged a pretty clean breakout. I think it was 3 weeks ago now. And like we just talked about backtesting, well, last week we came back and backtested the breakout level. And then now we're rallying nicely today. So that's really textbook bullish price action. And it's nice to see the seniors leading the juniors, because that shows big money coming into the sector. And then the more speculative aspects of the sector tend to follow. So that's very encouraging price action there in GDX and the mining stocks.
Yeah, it is. The stocks are doing really well today. And even ahead of just the bounce today, the majors, royalty companies, those were all doing very well on their own beforehand. Really signified the turn that we saw last month prior to when it happened in the underlying price. What about silver right now, Steve? We're hearing from kind of the small community of silver bugs out there that there's this silver squeeze that was being planned for Saturday, but we weren't really quite sure when that buying of silver was going to come in. Look, silver's up a dollar today, but I don't think we should all be banking or hoping for some sort of a silver squeeze as the next driver to price.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic here as far as what's causing today's move. I mean, it's hard to say. That's why I like technical analysis. You know, price and volume just tell you what's happening. You don't necessarily need to understand all the reasoning. And price and volume tend to precede the news. So, you know, maybe tomorrow or the next day, we'll find out why we're seeing this nice pop today. But yeah, silver's up over a dollar today, which is really encouraging. We broke this series of lower highs. So we made a new high today. above 26.74. So that's encouraging. And silver is above a rising 200-day moving average. It's also above the 50-day moving average, which stands in contrast to gold. So that's actually a fairly bullish setup for silver. Although, you know, the trend is fairly weak. We're still in the middle of a trading range. And for people looking for some real excitement in the silver market, obviously the key level to watch is $30, specifically $30.35. That was the high on the last silver squeeze push back on February 1st. So I am optimistic here in silver. I think my bias is up in all time frames. However, you know, there's always some caution is warranted. So, you know, I'm not necessarily saying, hey, we're going to go to the moon tomorrow, but the trend is up in silver and it looks constructive here.
What do you think is going to drive silver moving forward? Because it was a couple months ago that we were talking about base metals helping to support the silver price and keep it within that trading range because of silver's industrial uses. But we've seen commodities broadly, including the base metals, continue to push higher and silver's been left behind.
Yeah, silver is one of those really small markets that has many catalysts, and trying to pick which catalyst is going to be the driver, you know, that's a game I try not to play. But there's a ton of fundamental catalysts out there, and it basically could just be pure supply and demand. I believe last year, 2020, was the first year in a very long time, if not ever, where investment demand actually exceeded industrial demand. I'm not sure we've ever seen that, if we have, it's been a very long time. So, you know, there's more and more industrial demand for silver, but it's going to be the investment demand that really drives the prices higher. And, you know, that's one thing to say for the silver squeeze movement is it's bringing some attention to the sector, and people are maybe perhaps just beginning to recognize this as an undervalued asset class. And I'm talking about the generalist investor. When the generalists start coming into this market, it's so small that, you know, that's when we're going to see the really nice price moves that we've all been waiting for so long.
Yeah, the generalist can drive those moves and the retail follows it. But again, generalists, retail, I think they're still distracted by other markets because as much as commodities broadly have run, you can still make the argument that commodities are lagging behind the U.S. equity markets or any sort of kind of financial markets there that continue to outperform. What does that tell you about the environment?
Yeah, it's funny in this environment where they're just pumping so much liquidity into the system where like everything is going up. You know, what's not going up? But so that's why I like ratios, because ratios can tell you what's, you know, performing on a relative basis. And looking at a chart of the commodity index going back to 1980, so over 40 years, commodities have really never been this undervalued relative to general equities in the stock market and paper assets in general. So even though things like copper and oil are breaking out, they're still cheap on a relative basis, especially when compared to paper assets. And I think when generalist investors start to look at that ratio and say, wow, there's opportunity here in commodities, then you drill down and say, all right, well, commodities are cheap. What are the cheapest commodities? And that's where I think things like silver and uranium become get really exciting to think about the prospects there.
How worried do we have to be about a broad U.S. market pullback pulling down everything? Kind of like what we saw just over a year ago, but in all fairness, any major market pullback does make people scramble for cash and sell a wide range of assets.
Yeah, it sure does. And, you know, how worried we should be about it? So to zero in on that word worried, I mean, I'm not worried about it at all, even though I know that's going to happen. This is a boom bust market cycle we're in. There's going to be another sharp sell off in the general equities, and it is very, very likely to take down commodities and precious metals too. But I take solace in the fact that, you know, history suggests that precious metals and commodities are the first to rebound in such an environment. So rather than worrying about it, you know, I think it's important just to have a strategy to handle it. So there's a lot of different ways you can do that, but having a strategy to handle the next market crash so you're not taken off guard is more important than predicting when it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Predicting the timing of it is, you know, that can be a fool's errand.
What are some of the strategies that you're employing now? You and I have talked in our number of interviews about the different strategies that you use to either enter stocks or simply just manage your portfolio. I think they always are well thought out, and you really do need to have a strategy in good stocks, bad stocks, any sector. You need to have a strategy. What strategy are you employing now?
Yeah, having a strategy, that's the most important thing. And a lot of people, if you ask them, hey, what's your strategy for this scenario, they don't have one. And you know, that's more important than picking the best stocks or being in the right sectors, is having the right strategy. So for me personally, I like to take about 10% of my total mining stock portfolio And I dedicate that towards trading positions. And whenever I initiate trades or shorter term trades, I always have a stop loss. So in the event of some kind of panic driven sell off, my stops will get triggered. And then that portion of my portfolio becomes cash. So I would have that cash available to scoop up bargains. And at times like this too, we're talking about a market crash in the general equities market. I think we're at a record here where I think it was like 97% of the stocks in the S&P 500 were above their 200-day moving average. And I think it's been decades since we've seen that. So conditions are ripe for some kind of sharp sell-off here in the general equities market. So I'm also keeping a little bit of extra cash just in my long-term portfolio as well. So that's my personal strategy.
Okay, Steve, not much else to talk about here. Encouraging start to the week for the precious metals. Still some work to do, especially for gold on the upside to draw in more investors. But one step at a time, let's see if gold can take out that 1800 level and then up to just over 1850 and well, on from there. But those two are pretty important key near-term levels to watch. Steve, great chatting with you. I'm going to post a link to the Silver Chartist Report website. Yeah, I recommend everyone signing up or at least trying out Steve's free email as well and keeping up to date on what he is writing about. Steve, thanks for your time, buddy. Chat again in a couple weeks.
You bet, Corey. Thank you.